All right, which one do you want me to use? Where can I do the least amount of damage? Okay.
Probably down there.
Good. Well, congratulations, Lakewood Alliance Church, on 50 years of faithful ministry here in the wonderful city of Prince George. And I want to bring you greetings from 430 churches right across Canada and 250 international workers serving in 50 different countries of the world. You have a big family. And that family is very grateful for you. And so I'm just a symbol, a token to come and embrace you and tell you that we love our Lakewood family. And whenever I come to moments like this, kind of marker moments, you know, like 50 years or 25 years or 75 years, I always think it's a weird combination of what I call nostalgia and nitro. And nostalgia is the warm embrace of the stories and the ways in which God is at work. And we walk away feeling this incredible sense of, yes, we're part of something alive. We're part of something real. But marker moments like this also need to be filled with nitro. Amen? Like fresh fire, a fresh passion, a fresh call for what does God want us to do next? And I got to tell you, last night was a little bit of nitro when I watched those fireworks go off. Were they not amazing? Like, listen, I've been to all kinds of celebrations, and whenever I hear local church say, oh, we're going to do fireworks, I go, oh, mercy, here we go, a couple of firecrackers, and hopefully nobody gets hurt, right? Last night was spectacular. I couldn't believe, are they here, the guys who were responsible for the firecrackers? Can we just, yeah, yes, woo! That was incredible. It's like I could have given an altar call after that. We would have all come forward. It's amazing. Well, changing roles bring with it renewed responsibility. Okay, good, great. And when I left my district superintendent role in British Columbia, it was actually really sad for me because I love our churches in BC. And Prince George has been a very special place for me. You've always made me feel very welcome. And it was almost like when I landed here yesterday, I felt like I was coming home. So I just want to thank you for that. You've always made me feel so, so special. And so saying goodbye to my district world was really hard for me. And stepping into this national world, I remember the week after I got elected, I looked in a full-length mirror, and I felt this incredible weight of the responsibility of leadership. And I actually blurted this out loud, oh God, what have I done? Have you ever been in one of those moments? And then in utter desperation, I remember actually saying, oh Lord, and what am I to do? And I remember standing there feeling very vulnerable. And God just so delightfully breathed into my soul and said, David, remind yourself every day the Christian Missionary Alliance doesn't need you. Isn't that a good statement? The Christian Missionary Alliance in Canada needs me. Amen. It needs Jesus. And so remind yourself that I, Jesus, am the vine. Life comes from me. So just be a really good branch. Stay tightly, intimately connected to me so that my life permeates your life. And I said, Lord, I think I can be a good branch. And so that's what I want to do. I want to live a life full of the presence and power of Jesus. And that's what I want for you, my Lakewood congregation, to be that incredible sense of the passion and life and vision of the living Christ in the community of Prince George for the glory of God. So I arrived early today and I did a prayer walk around the outside of your church. Now, I never do more than 7 laps. I don't want your walls to fall down. It's something I freak out about. So I think I did about 5 and then I stopped. And this is what I prayed for you as my extended family. I prayed, oh God, on this, the 50th anniversary, would you rain down with a fresh sense of the Father's love upon this congregation? That anyone who feels anxious, anyone who feels fearful, anyone who feels depressed or demoralized would actually be wrapped in the glorious, unlimited, unconditional love of God the Father. Amen? And that you would feel this incredible sense of shalom. And then I prayed, oh, would the incredible grace of the Lord Jesus Christ just blow across this congregation and remind you that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen? Is that not like great news? Friends, your sins have been forgiven. In Jesus' name, your shame has been taken away. So do not live in the shadow places any longer. Come into the glorious light, the passion and the power of the living and resurrected Christ and the fullness of his grace. And then, Pastor Dave, I got really excited at that point. If I'd had better shoes, I probably would have run the last lap around your church. And I prayed, oh God, on this, your 50th anniversary, would the incredible fire of the Holy Spirit of God fall upon you? Friends, this is the need of the day. That the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is at work in you. So I dare you in Jesus' name to be fearless. Friends, what I prayed for you today was that every place you put your foot, demons would have to flee in Jesus' name. For they would recognize the unstoppable, uncontainable power of Jesus Christ working in you and in this church for the glory of God. I don't know about you, but I actually read the end of the book and we win. And I want to declare to our churches, whether it's an anniversary or not, this is our moment. And so I stood outside your church. I put my hand on the walls and I said, oh, breath of God, come. Come from the four winds and enter into those who are slain, maybe those who are sleeping, maybe those who are just longing for a fresh touch from you. And I sensed, and the Spirit came, and the breath came, and entered in, and they stood to their feet, a mighty and vast army in Jesus' name. I think that's nitro. I think that's what we long for as we think of the next 50 years. I want to invite you into a passage found in John chapter 20, verses 19 through 23. John chapter 20, verses 19 through 23. We're actually going to start there, and then we're going to launch into Acts chapter 3 and Acts chapter 4. And the theme of my message is very simple today. It is Holy Spirit-empowered mission. And friends, I am convinced that your next 50 years will never accomplish anything eternal and of value unless you as a congregation know the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? And I want to declare to you that the Christian Missionary Alliance has always been this radical combination of the deeper life, the fullness of the Spirit, evidenced in radical mission to the least reached peoples of the world. And I think what my job is just to simply call us back to who we are. To simply remind us of what God started over 130 years ago in the Christian and Missionary Alliance, and to see that revived and renewed in the name of Jesus. In a new day, in a new opportunity for the glory of God. John chapter 20, beginning at verse 19. Hear the word of the Lord. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were gathered together behind closed doors for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them. Can you imagine that moment? Here the disciples were gathered together. They had seen Jesus crucified on the cross. They had seen all of their dreams, all of their plans, all of their hopes of the coming kingdom of God dissolved in a hideous, horrific moment. And they were gathered together, trembling for fear of the Jewish leaders. And then Jesus, the resurrected Lord, comes and stands in their midst. Oh, I say, Jesus, come stand in our midst again. Amen. Because it's when Jesus shows up that everything changes. That fear-filled disciples become faith-filled missionaries for the kingdom of God. And oh, we need a fresh anointing of the manifest presence of Jesus Christ in our churches again. And Jesus spoke, peace be with you. And then he showed him his hands and his side. And all of a sudden, the disciples go from dismal discouragement to hilarious joy. It is the Lord. And Jesus speaks again. Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you a radical commission to reach the nations of the world. Here at Lakewood Alliance Church, that's you. As the Father has sent me, Jesus is saying, I am sending you. And you can imagine those disciples longing to unlock the door, the manifest presence, Jesus right in their midst, a great commission, but Jesus does not allow them to leave because there is a vital ingredient needed. And he took a deep breath and he breathed on them and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. And so God, in this very critical moment where we've looked back and we've celebrated 50 years of incredible faithfulness, Lives that have been radically changed. Influence that has moved out into the community of Prince George and hallelujah beyond. To places like Spain and other countries of the world. Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you for the faithfulness of this congregation. But hallelujah, you are not done yet. Today we are on the cusp of a new beginning. Today we are desperate, oh God, for a fresh outpouring of your Holy Spirit. And all I'm asking for today, Lord, is that you'd create fresh thirst in us. In fact, I would say it this way. I think thirst is already here. I think hunger is already here. And I think there is a longing for more. So Spirit of the living God, may we be so receptive to your call to us today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I began a ministry over 30 years ago. I am a BC kid, grew up in the Okanagan, but our first ministry placement was out in a place called Oshawa, Ontario. And Oshawa was a very conservative church. And we had a large communion table, and once a month we would serve communion. And it would always be done exactly the same way. I was the assistant pastor, and so I would serve alongside of the senior pastor, and he would lead in communion, and I would work along with him. And over top of the communion table was a microphone just like this. And at the end of our communion service, the senior pastor would lead out, I would follow behind him, and then all of the elders would follow behind me, kind of like the Keystone Cops. You know, we'd all kind of walk like this. And then we'd walk down the center aisle and out into the foyer, and we'd greet our people. Well, this particular Sunday, communion had been spectacular. It had gone so amazingly well. And as we were leading out, I was following behind the senior pastor, my foot actually got caught in the cord connected to the microphone. And I tripped and fell forward. And the microphone actually swung around and hit the elder behind me in the throat. And he lost his balance and fell into the next elder who fell into the next elder who fell into the next elder. And there by the communion table was a large pile of spiritual leadership. I learned a very valuable lesson that day. That the steps of a leader have a direct impact on those who follow. My friends at Lakewood, every one of you in this church is a leader. Every one of you has influence. Every one of you has the opportunity to impact those who are following you. And so my question for you this morning on your 50th anniversary is, how are you leading? And I'm going to be very direct and very daring today because this is what I want to say to you as a congregation. To lead well for the next 50 years, you do not need better strategies. You do not even need more efficient methods. You do not even actually need a more compelling vision. What you desperately need in this church is men and women full of the Holy Spirit and fire. John said that when Jesus comes, he will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and with fire. When they were looking for leaders in the New Testament, they were looking for men and women who were known to be full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. And as Jesus is there with his disciples, he breathes on them and he says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." It was a foretaste of what would happen on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit would come upon 120 believers and radically change them forever. And Jesus is declaring, he's declaring for the church that we will not accomplish anything without the power of the Holy Spirit. This movement, known as the Christian Missionary Alliance, was a movement that was begun in the power of the Holy Spirit. It was A.B. Simpson who had a radical encounter with the Holy Spirit who declared this, that when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you can no longer live for yourself. What a great statement. And friends, if we are going to put a death nail in consumerism that is hollowing the heart and soul out of the North American church, it will be through an unapologetic proclamation of the deeper life. Friends, it is time that we die so that Christ may live in us. It is Christ, the hope of glory, that radically changes us from the inside out, that radically inspires us not only to live a holy life, but hallelujah, to reach the nations of the world. This is the call of the moment. And so Simpson declared simply these words. He said that we need a larger baptism of the Holy Spirit. There are capacities in the human spirit that none of us has ever yet begun to realize. New baptisms awaken dormant powers that we did not know we possessed. When he was gathered together in New York City with seven people to start a world movement. How do you start a world movement with seven ordinary people? You don't unless the power of the Holy Spirit shows up. And he opened his Bible, and this is what he proclaimed. It is not by might, it is not by power, but hallelujah, it is by my Spirit, thus says the Lord. And the power of God came upon them. And they planted a church in New York City, but they started a worldwide movement to go to the nations of the world. And within 10 short years, over 600 men and women were sent to difficult places, places like the Congo, places like Tibet, and many of them never returned to the shores of North America. They were willing to give their lives for the cause. Why? Because they were men and women full of the Holy Spirit and fire. That was their heart. That was their soul. They actually believed that Jesus was Savior, Sanctifier, Healer, and a hallelujah coming King. And they were willing to give their lives for the cause. So my Lakewood friends, is that still us? Is that still the fire and the passion that beats in our soul? Simpson went on to declare that the message given to the Alliance is a message that is steeped in the Holy Spirit. A message that leads men and women to seek the fullness of the Holy Spirit without exaggeration, without fanaticism, without unscripturalness of any kind. All that power can be and yet with a sound mind. If I was ever going to get a tattoo, that would be it. All that power can be and yet with a sound mind. And my fear in the Christian Missionary Alliance is we're so afraid of the excesses of the Holy Spirit, we have now begun to ignore the Holy Spirit. And we're so terrified of false fire or wildfire that we settle for no fire. And I think today we need holy fire in Jesus' name. Amen? You see, I am not afraid of the excesses in the Christian Missionary Alliance. We've got people of discernment. We have the Word of God. What I'm terribly afraid of in the Christian Missionary Alliance is death, because death is really hard to recover from. And so my plea to you today is to lean in for a fresh work of the Spirit of God in your lives. Because friends, mission without deeper life leads to humanitarianism. But friends, deeper life without mission will actually lead to fanaticism. But deeper life together with mission leads to revolution. And if there ever was a time for revolution, it is now. So today on your 50th anniversary, this is my prayer for you. Use whatever term you wish. Filling of the Spirit, fullness of the Spirit, baptism of the Spirit, deeper life, higher life, fuller life, victorious life. The key reality, Lakewood Alliance Church, is that God is calling you into a defining experience where you encounter a fresh outpouring of Christ-revealing, heart-reviving, sin-defeating, and boldness-producing power in Jesus' name. That's nitro. That's what God wants for the next 50 years. That's what he wants in your heart and in your soul. Simpson said it this way. He said, oh, I thought I was filled with the Holy Spirit. But he said, I was never filled to overflowing. He said, it's like I had a little bit of the ocean in the bottle. And God wanted to put the bottle into the ocean. And I wonder if today isn't a day for the Alliance just to expand our capacity a little bit. I was at a conference. And I was speaking on this subject, and afterwards, a young pastor came running towards me. And he looked me in the eyes, and he said, I've been in ministry for 10 years, but I have no fire. I have no passion. I have absolutely no power in my ministry. He said, I don't think I've ever been filled with the Holy Spirit. Would you pray for me? I said, all right. And he immediately dropped to his knees. It was a beautiful moment. He raised his hands to the air, and he began to cry over and over again, Holy Spirit of the living God, come. Holy Spirit of the living God, come. And I remember just touching the top of his head and praying, oh, Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on this young man. And I could sense an incredible move of the Spirit. And all of a sudden, this life that was dry and miserable and broken and powerless seemed to be filled with a fresh energy and a warmth and a hilarious joy. And I've never seen this before. He jumped to his feet. He fist pumped the air and he ran away and I never saw him again. That was the weirdest moment. Like, what do you do with that? Until two months ago, I'm at the same conference. I look across the room. I see the same young man. He runs towards me full speed. He drops to his knees, raises his hands, and he says, more. More. Maybe on your 50th anniversary, that's the word. Maybe the word is just more. Not about our glory. More of your glory, God. Not about our power. Oh, God, more of your power. I think that's the word of the moment. I think that's what God is longing for. So let me very briefly unpack that, because what I really want to stress to you today is that when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, there is this incredible transformation between disciples locked behind closed doors for fear of the Jewish leaders to a radical boldness that starts a revolution that we see in the book of Acts. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. And I want to talk about bold faith, bold renewal, and bold action for a few moments. Bold faith, expecting the Holy Spirit's supernatural intervention. Lakewood Alliance Church, do you still believe God is a supernatural God? Do we actually still believe that God intervenes in supernatural ways and does what we cannot accomplish? Does what we cannot do in our own strength and in our own power. You see, the Alliance was based upon a preeminent belief in supernatural things and, hallelujah, in a supernatural God. Acts chapter 3. Peter and John are going up to the temple. It's 3 in the afternoon. They're going to pray. And they come through the gate beautiful, and they encounter a man who has been crippled since birth. And as the man asks them for money, there's this dramatic conversation that ensues, where Peter and John look at this man, and they actually say to him, "Look at me." Now, I don't know about you, but if you're begging for your very next meal, your very sustenance, and two people that look like they have some resources actually ask you to look at them, you're thinking this is going to be a good payday, don't you? I'm thinking, yeah, this is going to be a much better payday than he imagines. Because as they look at this man, Peter says, "Silver and gold we do not have, but what we do have we give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Can you imagine that moment? And all of a sudden, this man for 40 years, who has had anemic weakness in his legs and in his ankles, all of a sudden feels a surge of mighty strength. And for the first time ever, he stands to his feet. In fact, the word of God says he leaps. And he begins to leap and jump up and down, praising God. A miraculous, dynamic intervention of supernatural power. I was preaching in one of our churches 3 weeks ago, and I shared this same story that I just shared with you. And I just said off the cuff, "Oh God, I would love to see that again." And at the end of the service, I gave an altar call, and I was kneeling at the front of the service, and a woman came and knelt beside me, and she was on crutches. And after she prayed for a little bit, she left her crutches at the altar and walked away. And I, being Mr. Sensitive, goes, "She's forgot her crutches." And so I grab her crutches, and I go and I find her, and she says, "I don't need them anymore. God healed me today." And instantly, in the middle of the church service as I'm preaching, God healed her. And she said, "I had to make sure it was real." So she said, "I went to the back of the church, and I walked around, and I tested it." And then she said, "When you gave the altar call, I just wanted to leave my crutches at the front and say, hallelujah, God is a supernatural God." And as I left the service 3 weeks ago, her husband and her are walking out to the car. He's got the crutches over his shoulder, a trophy of the grace and power of the healing intervention of God. So do you still believe in that supernatural intervention in Lakewood? I got a call from one of our pastors of our Iranian church. And the pastor said, "David, there's been an outbreak of healing in our church." What a great conversation to have. I said, "Tell me about it." He said, "Well, we met with our elders a few weeks ago, and we were discussing the fact that we'd never, ever had a anointing and praying for healing. We're working through the book of James, and we thought maybe we should do that." So one of the elders said, "How about if we do that next week?" And another elder said, "Well, what kind of oil do we need?" And a third elder said, "Well, Costco's got good oil. Let's go buy some oil from Costco." And so they go and buy 4 liters of cooking oil from Costco. And at the end of the service, one of the elders drags this thing up on the stage, puts it down. The pastor gives an altar call. The entire church comes forward. And everyone who is prayed for and anointed is healed instantly in Jesus' name. People who had chronic illnesses were delivered in Jesus' name. People who had problems, back injuries and arm injuries from old accidents were instantly healed. One woman who had an awful skin disease, they said they watched as God reformatted the skin on her body into that which was beautiful and pristine right before their eyes. I stood in front of this woman, tears running down my face, a miraculous intervention of God. Do you still believe in the supernatural power of God? Now, friends, I know this is delicate. And there are some in our midst today who have prayed earnestly for God's healing. And I know it isn't about the healing, it's about the healer. I know it's... Lakewood Do you still believe in the supernatural power of God? Do you believe that God can use ordinary folks like you to actually speak to the highest levels of authority in our world? Because God will not be stopped. God will not be stopped. He is the almighty sovereign God of all of creation. He will build his church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I still believe bold faith is what God is calling you to in this moment of 50 years of celebration. Feels like nitro. Bold faith, bold renewal. A crowd begins to gather. And Peter says, this is a great time to preach. I think it'd be a great time to preach too. And he looks out and he says, fellow Israelites, why are you so surprised? Why are you staring at us as if by our holiness or our power that this man has been healed? Do you not realize that the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers has glorified his servant Jesus? And then he gets to the punchline. This is really bold preaching. You're in Jerusalem where Jesus has been crucified, and here is the heart of his message. You killed the author of life. That's a pretty scary thing to proclaim. You killed the author of life, but God has raised him from the dead, and we are witnesses to that fact. Ba-boom. Ba-boom. And then in that moment, he says, repent, therefore. Return to God, that he may wipe away your sins, and the times of refreshing would come from the Lord. Is that not what you long for, Lakewood Life Church? Is that not what you long for? Is that kind of radical renewal? But it always begins in repentance. And your 50th anniversary, what are the layers that God is saying you need to lay down? What a beautiful way to start this morning. We put our hands down and we said, what is the debris we need to let go of? Lakewood Alliance Church, what is the debris you need to let go of? What do we need to repent of? What do we need God to wipe away? Wipe the slate clean in Jesus' name so that blessings, showers of blessing would come from the Lord. Folks, there is a revival that's broken out in Cuba. You wouldn't believe this. 20 of our Alliance pastors got together with a vision. And the vision was to have somebody praying every hour of every day, 365 days a year, for revival to come to Cuba. Agnes and I showed up at their first annual prayer conference, sanctioned by a communist government. Can you believe it? 450 pastors representing 50 different denominations were gathered together with one passion, one desire, and that is to see renewal and revival come to Cuba. And friends, we saw it. The power of God descended on these Cuban leaders. And you always know God has come in revival when the first order of business is repentance. And they immediately began to repent to one another as leaders, for ways they had mistreated each other, for ways in which they had limited the power of the gospel, and they spontaneously began to wash one another's feet as a sign of repentance. The Baptists were washing the Pentecostals' feet. The Pentecostals were washing the Baptists' feet. The Alliance, we were washing everybody's feet. It was glorious. And in that holy moment of repentance, the power of God fell upon our Cuban leaders, and they stood as one united voice, and they began to declare over and over in Spanish, Christ for Cuba, Cuba for the nations, Christ for Cuba, Cuba for the nations. And the Cubans are sending out their first missionaries. And do you know where they're going? To the Arab nations of the world, the hardest to reach people group of the world. And I want to declare to you, Lakewood Alliance Church, if God can start a revival in the midst of a communist nation with 20 leaders who are audacious enough to pray for God's renewal so that now they are sending out their first missionaries to the Arab nations of the world, then God can bring revival to Canada. What if he wants to start here? What if on your 50th anniversary, God wants to start here? Which leads me to my last word before I conclude. Bold action. Not everybody's really pleased with this proclamation about Jesus risen from the dead. And so three arch enemies, the temple priests, the Roman guard, and the Sadducees, they're all arch enemies. They join together because they have found something far more fearful than each other, and that is the proclamation that Jesus Christ is raised from the dead. And so they take John, and they take Peter, they throw them into prison. And the next day they have the Inquisition. And this is the daring question. They look at John and Peter and they say, tell us by what name and in what power is this man healed? That's a great question. Because notice what happens. Peter, full of the Holy Spirit. It says leaders and rulers of the people. If we are being held to account for a man who has been lame and now is healed, and you are asking by what name and by what power has this happened, then let it be known. It is in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Yes! Wow! That's a long way from a bunch of guys gathered in a room with locked doors, terrified because of Jewish leaders. Amen? And then notice what the Jewish leaders say. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and recognized they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were absolutely astonished. And they took note that they had been with Jesus. David, is that not what you want for your church? That people in Prince George would come around the congregation of Lakewood and they go, I don't know what's going on. They're pretty ordinary people, but wow, there is a holy boldness about them. They must be hanging out with Jesus. Wouldn't it be great? They must be hanging out with Jesus. And these poor religious leaders, what can they do? Because the man who's been healed keeps hanging around. Go home. And so they get together, and with all their great wisdom, they say, well, I think we should scold them and tell them they can no longer preach in the name of Jesus. And notice the response of Peter and John. They say to these religious leaders, well, you have to make up your mind. Should we obey you, or should we obey God? But here's the bottom line. We cannot help but speak about the things that we've seen and we have heard. That's what I want for the Alliance in Canada. People so filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, so bold in their faith that every coffee shop, every arena, every workplace, the Christians just can't help but talk about Jesus. Wouldn't it be wonderful? Yeah, the Jays are exciting, but they pale in comparison to Jesus. That we just can't help but talk about him. It just flows out of every pore. And so I want to share this in conclusion. We are seeing God do incredible things in the Middle East. I got to tell you, there are more Muslims coming to Christ in this day than we've ever dreamed possible. You may not know this, but we have 4 churches in Iraq. Can you believe it? 4 churches in Iraq. We have 1 in Baghdad, 1 in a place called Erbil, 1 in Mosul. Mosul is Nineveh. That's where Jonah is buried. Our pastor in Erbil is a Ninevite. Thank you, Jonah. This is like incredible. And we have 1 in Duhok. And in the midst of a war-torn reality, we are seeing the church revived and renewed, and we are seeing Muslims come to Christ. They are looking at what ISIS is doing, and they are horrified by the extremism of Islam. And you know what the fastest growing religion in Egypt today is? Atheism. So I asked our pastor in Arabic, why atheism? And he says, well, it's too terrifying for Muslims to convert immediately to Christianity, so they're taking a sabbatical in atheism. A sabbatical in atheism. He says, but they know there's one God, and they are coming quickly to the full expression of Jesus. It is not uncommon for our pastor in Erbil to have someone on a daily basis come and knock on his door and say, last night, Jesus came in a vision and spoke to me. And he told me, gave me the address of this church. Last week, 91 new members in our Erbil church. And you got to understand, our Arable church has doubled in size because our church in Mosul, when ISIS swept in, they fled for their lives, and now they're in Arable, and the power of God is coming upon them. And so Lakewood Alliance, this is what I want to declare to you, is that the very strategy that Satan uses to stop the church actually becomes the very thing that advances the church in Jesus' name. Amen? This is incredible. And so in Iraq, there is a completely unreached people group known as the Yazidis. The Yazidis were hunted down by ISIS. ISIS came into their village. They ran for their lives. They raped their women. They killed their men. And they all ended up in a place called Duhok. We have a church in Duhok. And I was there. And I was there ministering to the Yazidis. And we were giving them coats. And we were giving them warm embraces in Jesus' name. We could not give out the word of God. But hallelujah, we could let them steal it. And so we had a table that was full of Bibles. And we would turn our backs and they would steal our Bibles. It was glorious. And they would run away with our Bibles. And we'd go, hallelujah. For the first time in human history, a completely unreached people group, they have never heard the name of Jesus, now has the Word of God, and they are hearing for the first time that Jesus loves them. In the midst of a war zone. In the midst of a war zone. So I stand up in front of our people in our church in Erbil. What do you say to people who are heroes of your faith? I looked out at them and I said, God loves you. God embraces you. And it was like when Peter and John came back to the praying church in Acts chapter 4. And what do we see? The praying church under persecution, they are not asking to be taken out of Jerusalem. They say, oh God, would you give us greater boldness? Greater signs and wonders. Your men and women of faith, the Alliance Church in Iraq is not asking to leave Iraq. They are saying, God, give us greater boldness. And there in the church, we watched the shaking of God. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they are speaking the word of God with boldness. I met a young dentist, 2 months old in the faith. And God has called him to leave his practice and join the church to serve the 1.8 million displaced people in Iraq. And when his father-in-law, a devout Muslim, heard what his son-in-law was going to do, he went to the church and offered them $200,000 not to work with his son-in-law. And when his son-in-law found out about it, he confronted his father-in-law. And these are his exact words. He said, people have come from all over to join ISIS and are now here destroying and killing and bringing fear. But now Christians are coming from all over the world. They are bringing help, love, and hope. Which religion would you choose? I'm going to be a Christian and I'm going to help them. So this is your church in Erbil. Fearless men and women, full of the Holy Spirit and fire. We are claiming 20 million Muslims for Christ in the Middle East. Take a deep breath. Nitro! So what are you claiming? What is the vision of this church that is so radical that you know if Jesus doesn't show up, you're doomed? Isn't that a great way to live? Because that's going to drive you to Holy Spirit power. That's going to drive you to Holy Spirit desperation. That's what you need. That's what needs to mark this moment. So I'm going to ask our worship team to come and join me on the platform. See, I really want to give you a chance to respond today. Because I think some of you are like that young man who feel pretty dry inside. There's no more fire. There's no more passion. And you hear the conversation of what's going on around the world and you say, I want in. Do you know the beauty of a moment like this is all you get to bring to the conversation is thirst. Isn't that wonderful? Just be thirsty. And Jesus stood with a loud voice and he said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me. If you believe I am, as the scriptures say I am, then from your inmost being will flow rivers of living water. Radical nitro in Jesus' name. This he spoke of the Spirit. Just be thirsty. I'm going to ask you to stand. In a moment, we're going to sing. And I want to bring you a gift on this year anniversary, and it comes all the way from Cuba, okay? And it's not Cuban cigars. Sorry, folks. Not Cuban cigars. When Agnes and I were leaving, 20 of our pastors stood around us. And one of them cupped his hands just like this. And he said, David, I want you to imagine in my hands the flame of revival that has come to Cuba. And then he walked over to me so gently, but so passionately. And he asked me to cup my hands in a similar fashion. And then he laid that flame into my hands. And he said this, exact words, could you take this back to Canada? They really need it there. You believe it? So I'm bringing it to you today. And here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to cup your hands. And I'm going to actually offer you a flame of revival today. And then I'm going to dare you. And I'm going to dare you, first of all, to just receive it, to pull it into your chest and to say, Spirit of the living God, I just want more. Is that okay? That's okay. I just want more today. More of you. Spirit of the living God, fill me. And then part two. And whatever you want me to do, and wherever you want me to go, and whenever you want me to do it, my answer in advance is yes. Amen? Boy, that's daring. That's like better than fireworks. That's world changing. That's city changing. So, Lakewood Alliance Church, I just like really love you. I really love you. All the way from Cuba. The flame of revival. Take it. Oh, church, take it. Way up in the balcony, you daring balcony livers, here you go. Take it. Take it. Take the flame. For the glory of God, the advancement of his kingdom. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on this church. On this 50 years, great history, great faithfulness, great leadership. We just want more. More of your power, more of your spirit, more of your glory. So, Spirit of the living God, fall fresh.